Hello and welcome to another Baseball America podcast with Hudson Belinsky and Josh Norris. We're going to talk to you today a little bit about the weekend that we had because, hey, it's baseball season. And I know that may be hard to believe considering James Shields hasn't signed anywhere and it's still January. But as far as Baseball America is concerned, it's baseball season. He and I spent this weekend first at Duke for their scrimmage in which Michael Mattiuella, a likely top five in the country pick, threw against some of his teammates. And then the next morning we went down to the state of South Carolina for Diamond Prospect Pro Day at AC Flora High School in Columbia, South Carolina. And then after that, about 1 o'clock, we jetted over to the University of South Carolina to watch their scrimmage against each other. And we didn't see their big name guys, but we saw a lot of intriguing guys nonetheless. So regardless of what the calendar says, there's people are throwing, guys are running, and bats are hitting.
The spring is underway.
Yes, that's an inside joke that none of you will get, and I won't explain.
And there was a comment on one of the articles about Mattiuella's first start. We are aware that it is not spring. It is cold outside. It is January. We're aware. The spring is just... it's the language you use when baseball starts. Spring training starts on February 10th or whatever it is. Not really spring. So if you want to get bogged down in semantics, you can do that. But I'm just going to keep referring to baseball season as the spring.
That's the new name for this podcast. Hudson and Belinsky and Josh Norris present Bogged Down in Semantics. It's going to be a wonderful time for 30 minutes arguing about linguistic intricacies. Stick around. So, getting back to business. Obviously, what were your impressions of Michael Mattiuella? If you guys haven't read what Hudson had to read on BaseballAmerica.com, you should. But if you haven't, well, here's a quick summary from the man himself.
I thought it was very, very impressive. Those kinds of guys are easy when you get to see somebody who has that kind of stuff. So on Friday, Duke had their media day, and Mattiuella was made available to the media, and I got to see him up close, and he's a huge, huge kid, gigantic hands, and when you see somebody with that kind of hands, you can kind of figure there's going to be a changeup coming, and that's the thing. Last year, he was mostly fastball curveball, or fastball breaking ball, whatever you want to call that breaking ball, but on Saturday, he was all, at least in game, and or two hitters. He was just fastball changeup. I think he's got a chance for at least an above-average changeup. Fastball is lively, and to think that he's really not airing it out completely yet is kind of scary. There's probably more velocity there. He was 93 to 95, touching 96 on Saturday, and I would not be surprised to see him higher than that, and I know people have seen him higher than that in the past, but also just beautiful arm action and very clean delivery, and actually surprisingly coordinated for a guy who's 6'6", 6'7". So he's certainly an interesting guy and a player that I'm excited to kind of see throughout the spring.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he more than lived up to the hype that came in and the expectations that I believe you had for him based on the amount of which you were talking about him.
Yeah, I mean, he was, he showed, and I'm very interested to see him over a longer stint. We saw him for just two innings and probably 25 pitches. He wasn't having any issues getting Duke hitters out, and these are hitters who hadn't probably seen live pitching in quite a while. So guys who you would expect to struggle against 93 to 95 and a good changeup. The other thing was he threw his breaking ball in warmups, and it was in mid to upper 70s, late breaking, kind of had some sweeping 10-4 action to it. It looks like a pitch that has a lot of potential, but it was just a two-inning stint, and it's going to be nice to see how that plays in game, if he's going to be comfortable throwing that in the zone, if it does compete in the zone. and, you know, kind of see how hitters respond to it. So it's certainly nice signs from him this weekend, but we'll see what happens when games start. And that's obviously a lot more important than what we saw.
So, well, it obviously was, I mean, that there were 30 or so scouts there, and some of the big hitters were there, cross-checkers were there. It wasn't just the Michael Mattiuella show. There were some other interesting guys that you and I both agreed were pretty interesting. And let's start with the outfielder, Jalen Phillips, who I liked just looking in the on-deck circle. Just the body just kind of stuck out to me, and then he kind of backed it up in the game, too.
Yeah, he had a pretty impressive batting practice before the game, and he showed tools. He's another guy. It's hard to really know what you're seeing when it's January 24th and 40-ish degrees outside and pretty cold, but
the winter.
I mean, the tools are there. The raw materials are there. I think he's a guy who's gonna have to prove himself against good competition. But in terms of bat speed, the swing, you know, average or above average arm in the outfield, average or above average runner. So, left-handed hitter. There's a lot of things to like there. He checks off a lot of boxes. But, again, you know, a guy we're going to need to see actually go out and do it to really push himself into consideration.
And there was another arm you liked, Bailey Clark, who I didn't get to see much of because I was up the line. So tell the people what I missed and what they missed.
Yeah, I mean, he's a likable arm, certainly a projectable talent, a big body, you know, wider shoulders than Mattiuella. Not as much height there, but he's more, he's probably 6'4", 220 at this point, just a horse kind of body. If we want to get into semantics, that one's going to be difficult.
But so he's not actually a centaur.
No, not a centaur, a human being. But plus arm speed and a guy you can project a little bit there. Didn't really show a ton in terms of secondaries yet. But again, January 24th, so we'll see how that comes along throughout the spring.
Anybody we missed, or I missed, I guess?
Yeah, they had a decent-looking freshman class. Jonathan Lloyd was an interesting hitter. Kind of just battling off stuff on the corners, waiting for something he could drive. I think he's going to be a guy who can have an impact for them right off the bat and with the bat. And then at third base, Justin Lebowski, a NorCal kid. Actually, he may be a SoCal kid, but another freshman who has a chance to compete for a lot of playing time right now. We didn't get to see all of their arms, but there is certainly a good number of players who should be very solid in that conference. When you think about Andrew Isler, a guy who is more of a deception kind of guy at this point. I'm sure there's more velocity than we saw on Saturday. He was 87, 89. But a guy who can just kind of lean back and, you know, the ball looks like it's coming out of his ear and kind of jumps on you quickly. There's some run to it. Definitely an interesting college arm. I would say there's a chance for him to play pro ball. But, yeah, another guy we're going to have to see prove it.
To get into semantics again, the ball only looked like it was coming out of his ear, correct?
Correct.
It wasn't actually coming out of his ear.
Correct.
Good, because I think we would have put that on the front page of the website.
Throws from his ear.
So from there, we went home. Then the next morning, we got up very, very early, rented a car, and drove on down to South Carolina. And our first stop was AC Flora High School for a scout day. Featuring some really good high school players, and I think the big name was Cat Brown, the big
name, big body,
big name, big body, big power. And tell us what you liked about him.
Yeah, Brown's certainly a guy that has intriguing tools across the board. A big, big bodied guy, wide shoulders, probably 6'5", has rock star hair. And then at the plate, he did some things. I mean, lining a ball out to the power alley in left center, ripping one over a huge wall in center. A very efficient swing, kind of casting his hands out a little bit. So it's certainly going to be interesting to see if he can adjust and put the ball to the opposite field. And I think that's what people are waiting on at this point. I think he's going to have plenty of opposite field power if and when he does tap into, you know, some pushability. But, yeah, definitely a guy that was good to see again and, you know, kind of bear down on a little bit.
So then I think the next guy in terms of, I don't know, let's call it famousness, on the list was Grant Bodison. And I think he had made a pretty good impression on you and me both as well.
Yeah, Bodison's a guy who goes to, is a Malden High School guy. And I believe that's Corey Thompson's high school. Corey Thompson, another up the middle infielder who's in the Reds organization now. Live armed guy, even off the mound, you know, was low 90s with some ability to spin the ball. But Bodison is a classic projectable infielder. Probably makes more sense at third base. Fringy arm right now, but just a wiry frame and some body control there. So he should be a third baseman long term. But again, at the plate, projectable. Swinging the plate, swinging the bat, projectable. A guy who shows a little bit of bat speed, gets really long now and has a pretty significant hitch to it, but the raw materials are there. The next guy would be, this is Josh's probably favorite player of the day, and it's...
because he has my name.
Josh Hernandez. What do you think of seeing Hernandez there?
Well, I mean, let's digress here for a second. This is really my first scout day, more or less. I went to one at East Carolina, but I was more up the line for most of the day. So this was really all new to me. And I'm really, I don't want to say nascent, but learning in terms of evaluating, instead of coming back from a beat writer's background where it's, I don't care if you're a prospect or not, did you help the team win the game, mm-hmm. and what's the final score? So this is all new to me. But I like Josh Hernandez, the catcher, who goes to AC Flora High School. We watched the catchers, and some of them weren't throwing particularly on target or catching the ball particularly well. Or if they were, it was only one or two, and the rest were all over the place. But this kid was nailing it every time. He would catch the ball, and within an instant, it'd be in his throw hand, and it'd be down to second base, and it kind of jumps out when compared to everybody else. And then I put that away in my notes, that quick release, strong arm, etc. And then I brought it to you, and you said, yeah, this guy jumped out to me too, and told me he was popping, what, 1/8?
Yeah, he was in the 1/8-5 range, give or take a millisecond or two. But he was, he was certainly impressive. And with a guy like that, you try not, I don't really care as much about the pop. Because when you think about, there are guys who will fool you with a quick transfer, or guys who are cheating with, you know, basically staying tall, not really being in a position where you would normally catch the ball in a game situation. But, you know, he was more or less in a catching position and throwing bullets that looked like they would have gone straight through the second baseman. So, certainly online with his throws and getting his arm down, and just had arm speed behind the plate. So there's also athleticism to the way he moved behind the plate, and he showed us some of that.
Yeah, at one point, I'll interject here. We were watching bullpens, and I was, kind of watching a little bit the catchers there, especially when he came to the plate or came behind the plate, and some of the pitches we wild. And he actually executed an actual block. He mm-hmm. got down in the on his knees stance and put the glove between his legs and blocked it. And I didn't see that from anybody else, because it's a bullpen and you're not worried about runners actually moving.
Yeah, it's. There's upside there. It's definitely a guy who will probably be seeing a lot of this summer. He'll be around the showcase circuit, I'm sure. And then at the plate, he showed he at least flashed potential for some above average bat speed. Kind of all over the place mechanically. Didn't really repeat the swing, but again, the raw materials are there. This could be a guy who develops into a serious talent. Yeah, this will be a big summer for him in terms of proving himself and getting himself, into that upper echelon of consideration.
And then you liked an arm, one of the many arms you threw. I didn't like him so much because the first couple pitches he was a little off and he missed the catcher a couple times. And if you were to see the raw video, you would see the ball at about 91, 92 miles an hour zooming toward me. Thank goodness for a net. But, you know, after those, he recovered and impressed. But we said 90 to 92 miles an hour. That's a good start.
Yeah, and that's Sawyer Bridges from Somerville High School, University of South Carolina commit. A guy who had arm speed, not a ton of height. I'm guessing he's probably 6 foot, 6'1" at this point. But, yeah, projectable arm. And certainly a guy who has a chance to get himself onto one of those showcase teams, whether it be Area Codes or East Coast Pro, probably a guy we'll see a lot of again in the future. I mean, there were a lot of guys who showed something on the mound or who had super projectable bodies. We didn't really see anybody who checked off more than that in terms of showing you feel for a good off-speed pitch or who was more present than projectable. So there weren't a ton of guys who look like they're pro guys out of high school, but certainly a lot of guys who have a chance to develop, be it, you know, in their later in high school or in college. I mean, there were a lot of 2016s at this event. So,
and the list of college commitments at this event is pretty impressive. You got a lot of guys who are going to Clemson and South Carolina,
Wake Forest, Coastal Carolina,
Power Five conference schools.
Yeah, College of Charleston is another really good program down there. Liberty had some commits there. So yeah, there's certainly a lot of good college talent here for sure.
And speaking of the University of South Carolina, where many of these players were committed, the next stop for us after that was the University of South Carolina for their scrimmage. We got there a few pitches a little late, but we walked into their beautiful, unbelievable, gorgeous ballpark and saw some interesting guys. I think you liked one of the arms more than the others. And
I mean, the arms, there were decent arms there, mostly solid college arms. Kanan Cropper was one player who I wrote about that has at least reliever upside. He's got a long way to go, but his first inning out there was pounding 91 from a super low arm slot, getting run and wiggle to it, and then the changeup looked very similar, just faded, and it was sitting anywhere between 77 and 80. Very similar arm action to it. The kind of guy who is really a relief-only type based on the delivery, and he didn't show us any... He didn't throw a breaking ball at all. So that leads me to believe there's probably not a lot of feel for spin there. But, you know, the guy would be still just a redshirt freshman. So... 4 years of eligibility left, a lot of time to add weight to that frame and add a third pitch. So definitely a high upside guy, at least at the college level.
So then another guy I think we both liked, just because he kind of made it very hard for us not to like him, was Kyle Martin, who sounds like a senior there at USC. He hit one of the three home runs on the day. If I remember correctly, it was a big, big fly. And he hit another ball later in the game that would have been a double or probably a double in game situation. But the center fielder made a very, very good catch on it. Regardless, he put a charge into the ball. Go ahead. Yeah.
To the warning track, I think it's probably a caught ball in most situations. But
I thought it was a fairly difficult catch. But
Point being, a very easy guy to like, just in terms of offensive ceiling. I think it's a guy who had chance for above average power, and you couldn't throw him a ball on the inside part of the plate on a Sunday. He was just going to pound everything. A guy who would be nice to see a little bit more of at some point, just because the raw tools are there. Very fast hands at the plate. quick diagonal load. So he's getting backspin on the ball. He didn't topspin anything on Sunday, even when people were pounding him down in the zone. So an impressive guy, 20th rounder last year. Probably a good decision for him to go back to school. I think he's got a chance to be a senior sign in the top 10 rounds, especially for a club looking to save some money on a, you know, one of those slots. So definitely an interesting guy. And you know, they had a lot of good underclassmen there, guys who may not have a chance to play right away, but you know, certainly have some upside for the next couple of years. So it was a very good day of baseball at USC.
Yeah, you understand when you look at their underclassmen why that they're consistently a power among the college baseball world and contend for trips into the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, every arm we saw showed potential for two quality pitches, and there were quite a lot of guys, really. There were a lot of, every arm there showed something that should work at the college level, with the exception of maybe one or two towards the end. One impressive guy was Tyler Haswell, who was, you know, 87, 89, with some run and wiggle to it, and showed, you know, at least at the college level, it's a plus breaking ball. For me, it's more of a 40, 45 pitch at the pro level. Kind of a rolling breaking ball with heavy, heavy depth that he was able to spot in the zone. So that's going to probably work. That's going to work in college. It'll need to tighten up a little bit before it actually plays at the next level, but certainly some upside to it. And, you know, a good body, staying closed, you know, deception there. Easy guy to like at the college level.
So, with that in mind, that weekend is obviously in the past. What do we plan on, or at least what do you plan on doing this weekend as far as baseball is concerned?
Yeah, so it looks like Maduela is going to pitch again on Friday at 3 o'clock. I think I'll be there. I mean, he's the guy who I'd like to see as much as possible. And then sort of kind of, you know, investigating a little bit in the local area, hopefully get an eyes on NC State or UNC, maybe branch out a little bit more, but still have to kind of wrangle up all the schedules and see who's going to be playing where and when. So yeah,
so we're going to stick around local this weekend. No crazy journeys for us, no trips to south of the border or to investigate. We've got to bring this up because we can't just talk about all baseball. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm agreeing with you.
Mustard barbecue sauce, which was a heated point of contention in this office. We had South Carolina barbecue. I would give the place a shout out, but I don't remember its name, so I'm sorry. But it was our first. We've had Q Shack here in North Carolina. I've had the Pit, and it's very good. I'm sure we've had other places at some point, but this is the first time we've been to a South Carolina style barbecue, and it was okay. It wasn't quite the same. I wasn't as offended by mustard-based barbecue sauce as I think I should have been, or it was expected for people to be. How did you feel about it?
I think it was a 40 meal. Certainly something you'll take on your roster, but it's something you're looking to replace if it's on your team. So, it was all right. Again, edible.
All right, so 40 meal, very, very picky here. I give it at least a 50 if we're going to do 20-80.
Yeah, well, you're an easy grader. I
am an easy grader. It's food, I mean.
I mean, whereas
I would see 40.
Shack brisket, then we're talking like 55 at that point.
Wow, that's only a 55 to you? My goodness, what's an 8 meal?
I mean, you have to realize a 60 is special.
Oh, I know, but Q Shack is pretty good.
I mean,
it's free advertising right here.
I need to bear down on it.
We'll investigate further.
We'll have further reports. Probably subscription only on the site, I imagine.
Yes, Hudson and
you probably need a special subscription for that, actually.
Or a special problem to really want to know more about that. But we'll keep you updated more on Hudson and Josh Eat America or something more catchy than that.
Yeah.
And but we also had something come up during the, you know, in the background during the day we were down there in South Carolina that is kind of a all baseball issue. That was the day that Rob Manfred kind of mentioned in passing the possible banning of the shift, and then we got to watch the Twitterverse kind of melt down on itself with the thought of that happening. And it's just something that I think you look at and you go, haha, that's a silly idea. It's probably just an offhand thing that was thrown out and it's probably never going to happen. But here we are, and in this day and age, the media, which includes us, at least me and you, I guess, but all of us here, a little reactionary at times.
That was annoying.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy with that. I think that's childish. It's just childish to... Oh, something was discussed in passing and not immediately rejected? That is not the same as this is happening and we should respond to it. So it was just a little immature, I think.
It's interesting,
premature
too.
And immature.
Oh, it's just a lot of mature suffixes. I think it's kind of indicative of our society as a whole being really, really, really afraid of change. I mean, it's what, 40 years later now, and people are still whining about the designated hitter. So,
yeah,
I mean, that still won't go away. There are purists that will call it mutant baseball and this, that, and the other thing, and say it's only true baseball. We still got people in front offices mentioning real baseball teams in terms of teams that don't employ just baseball men, that use sabermetrics. And it's just interesting how quickly and vehemently we come down on any new idea. I mean, I wouldn't be for banning the shift. I think it'd be very difficult to enforce because you have to redefine a shift and you'd have to put it on these poor umpires who are going to have to now watch pitch clocks in AA and AAA. And then if you were going to, say, bring it in for this year or next year even, oh, you have to also watch these defensive shifts in addition to trying to actually become a good umpire. I'm probably going to be the only one who ever sticks up for umpires on these podcasts, but here it is. But I think we both agree that it's way too early to get angry.
I think that when ever in baseball have we seen rules that actually change the game? The most recent one would be replay, I guess. It doesn't really change the game. I mean, it's still the same game. The catcher thing that changed last year?
Yes, and it really... both those things had a common thread. Those were things that people were pounding their fists on the table. We need replay. The umpires stink. You know, they're costing us postseason games, et cetera, et cetera. We need catcher rules. Buster Posey and the like are getting destroyed at home plate. And when we implement those rules, the whining never ceases. I think the whole season long on Twitter, when there was a replay play, some bored beat writer would time it. Say, oh, 3 minutes, 36 seconds on that replay. Ha, ha, ha. Just deal with it. I mean, making the game more accurate.
The other thing is, I guess the idea behind banning the shift is to promote a more offensive game in a specialized era of pitching. And a specialized era of pitching and defense, we've never really seen this kind of thing before in terms of, I mean, defense is as good as it's ever been, and it's getting better. And it makes sense to kind of give hitters something, but if you're under the impression that in order to promote a sport there must be scoring, I kind of like baseball the way it is. But I see the idea behind banning or at least regulating the shift, but I don't like the idea of really changing baseball. I like baseball.
Okay, Hudson Belinsky with a strong statement here. I like baseball. I don't love it. He's not ready to commit, but he just likes it. I think that's a really good note to end on. This has been the Hudson Belinsky and Josh Norris Bogged Down in Semantics podcast.
Bogged Down in Semantics. I like baseball.
I think if we ever make an intro to this podcast, and we're kind of highlights of what you and I say, that's going on there. Just
like
that
baseball.
Bold, declarative, hard period, maybe an exclamation point at the end. I like baseball. Hudson Belinsky. Anyway, thanks.
But also, we just reacted to something that's super unlikely to ever happen.
Yeah, we just spent 10 minutes on it, but we didn't get angry about it.
I don't know, I'm pretty angry right now.
No, I don't think you're more hangry. I think you're a combination of hungry / angry.
Yeah, I mean, talking about 55 meals.
Yeah, talking about 55 meals. You haven't even had one today. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've forgotten to eat. It's 4 o'clock.
Goodness. Okay, so now that Josh and Hudson's laughing time is over, we'll say goodbye. Until next time, this is Hudson Belinsky and Josh Norris. Thanks for listening.